Greetings. Greetings once again. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors because nobody does any of that anymore. Well, they do tolerate sponsors, but nobody takes calls anymore. Everybody does a taped podcast that's not live. And as far as I know, there may still be people on AM radio doing all that. But I haven't heard because I don't listen to radio or TV. Did I already talk about that last week? I think I already talked about that last week. That's one of the annoying things about getting older is that you don't remember what you've said in the very recent past. You have moments of clarity. Like the other day I was falling in between wake and sleep, and I had the distinct picture in my mind of what it looked like standing in my backyard when I was five. And what I could see across the neighbor's backyard, and it was perfectly clear image in my mind, but I can't remember what I told you people last week. So forgive me. That's why old men are grumpy and bitter. Our body hurts. Our mind doesn't work anymore. We haven't achieved even 5% of what we thought we would achieve when we were five. And so we're bitter and grumpy. That's all. Get over it. All right. A little late going on today because I just got off the phone with Mitch McConnell. He calls me at least once. He calls me for about 20 minutes every week and we talk. And he was really surprised that there were people doubting that we talk for 20 minutes or so. He was kind of shocked about that. But I just want to let everybody know he's doing fine. Doing fine. He's been very impressed with the ability of artificial intelligence to doctor photographs lately, too. We had a conversation about that. I can't recall what the topic was. It was some about the New York Times and the sports page, but, you know, I'm getting older and I forget things. I want to congratulate whoever it was that arrested the Tate brothers in Florida. And that's all. I'm just going to leave it at that. And if any of you people out there want to defend the Tate brother, I wonder if Tucker Carlson will have him back on now. That was one of the red flags with Tucker Carlson for me, was when he had that guy on his show and treated him as if he were some sort of civil rights hero. Or maybe he didn't treat him like a hero. He did treat him as if he were not a criminal. And that was a red flag. Of course, I always had a red flag for Tucker Carlson because I seem to remember him on public television wearing a bow tie and being a leftist. But you know what? I'm getting older. Perhaps that's a figment of my imagination. Maybe that's another guy altogether. It could be. I'm going to have to go and look that up. It's possible that I have Tucker Carlson confused with another leftist, and I certainly don't want to get involved with casting aspersions where they are not appropriate. So instead, let's go to the state church file in the state of Colorado, where you can cast aspersions pretty much in any direction, and they're pretty much completely appropriate at all times. Here's the headline, folks. This is from the Federalist. Colorado denies funding to preschoolers. And I had to stop right there. I'm like, wait a second. Preschoolers being denied funding? Preschoolers don't need funding. I don't think they even know what funding is. It doesn't cost anything to be four. In fact, when you're a preschooler, that's the one time in your life where you're not concerned with funding in any way. That's one of the reasons it was so great to be four or five or whatever you are in preschool. Because you didn't yet comprehend funding. And life was pretty good when you don't comprehend funding. But the headline is yet another indication that I shouldn't say nobody's really thinking anymore. Because I'm starting to suspect that somebody is thinking. about how they write these headlines and how you and I communicate to each other and how words are used. I think someone smarter than you and I has been thinking about that for a long time. And they have degrees in psychology and sociology. And they've been hard at work for the better part of 100 years in crafting language that is unprofitable. Let's go on with the story. Colorado denies funding to preschoolers. Fortunately, the preschoolers weren't aware, but the parents are quite upset. For many, now listen to this, okay? This is written by an allegedly conservative reporter at TheFederalist.com. The Federalist is a conservative news reporter. Okay, it's conservative. Trust me. At least that's what they say. Here it is. For many families, there is a clear answer to the question of who they trust to help them raise their children. A school that shares their mission. A genuine partner in a child's education. But some families in Colorado are being denied that opportunity. A case the Supreme Court will hear next term. Maybe I did too much of the questioning lilt there. That took the edge off of Sally Mae's reading of the... So what is that? Okay, so this is a supposedly conservative outlet who frames the first paragraph of the story in the idea that parents want a school they trust as a partner in their child's education. So that's like a foreign language to me. Me being an actual conservative. A Christian conservative. I'm an actual Christian conservative. I do not look for a partner in my child's education. I never did. Well, one, my extremely attractive audio engineer. In fact, she wasn't just a partner. She carried most of the load. But still, I did not look for a school to be a partner. I did not necessarily have a mission in my child's education. I really didn't think of it like that. Because it's not that big of a deal to teach your kid how to read and write and like what's going on. I didn't need a mission. It's not a mission. A mission is like above and beyond. Okay. Teaching your kid how to read and write. All right. But it's a mission because whatever. It's sacred. Whatever. Get out of here with all that. Anyway, the first paragraph of the article in The Federalist appears to me to have been written by a drugged out, feminized AI bot. I'm sorry. If you were the author and you're offended by that, well, just check yourself because this is embarrassing. Okay, here's the crux of the problem. Colorado's Universal Preschool Program offers 15 hours of preschool per week to every four-year-old in the state. Now, that is actually the crux of the problem because that should make you angry that the state has a universal preschool program. First of all, that name right there should make you want to, it should be revolting to you. That should make your skin crawl when you hear the term universal preschool. And it should make you angry. The state should not be offering to raise anybody's preschooler. And how is it the state offers preschool to anyone? Anyway, the state is the state. But it comes back to the money is what it is. It comes back to the money. And Colorado offers universal preschool to every four-year-old except, says the Federalist, if you choose a Catholic school, the state apparently is not offering universal preschool. Well, two parishes have challenged that exclusion. And then the Federalist authorette, AI bot, whatever, goes on with talk about questions and religious discrimination. Is it direct discrimination? Indirect discrimination? talks about how the state operates, how the preschool operates, how the Catholic Church operates, the school's practices. Do they flow directly from their religious beliefs? Do their religious beliefs flow from exactly the perspective of their... Is there a general interest in non-discrimination? Is that enough for the state not to discriminate, or is it maybe per... Anyway, it's just a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo that they throw against the wall, like an abstract painting or something. And I'm supposed to think that's smart because I can barely keep up with all the legal angles. And then the Federalist authorette bot goes on with, "These are the questions the Supreme Court will wrestle with this fall." Unquote. Wrestle with? The Supreme Court of the United States is wrestling with questions? The Supreme Court is not a seventh grade girl who's unsure of herself wrestling with questions. I mean, adults, they take decisions on questions. They consider and they take a decision. Seventh grade girls who are uncertain of themselves wrestle with questions. But the Federalist authorette bot, she writes as if we're all seventh grade girls completely unsure of anything and that we wrestle with everything, every question. Her whole life is a wrestling match. And the implication, if you read this kind of stuff long enough, not the implication, the effect is that you start to become this seventh grade chatbot reporterette, authorette, whatever this is. If you imbibe this type of language long enough and you're not well grounded in the Bible and the truth, eventually you turn into this uncertain, frail, scared seventh grade girl wrestling with questions over whether or not the state should be handing out other people's money to Catholics or Protestants or... And then you end up arguing about all the minutiae about how the school operates, where do the religious beliefs flow from, and is there a general interest on the behalf of the state in non-discrimination? You end up arguing about all that stuff instead of at the very first saying, wait a minute, why is the state stealing one person's money and handing it to another person in the name of the children? That's evil, and we need to stop that. And then all this other stuff, it just doesn't matter as much. Let's see. These are the questions. Yeah, they're wrestling with. Okay. Jill, who's a mom at at Our Lady of Lourdes in Denver. That's the Catholic preschool. She lost tuition assistance. And even though three of her previous children had attended with tuition assistance, her youngest couldn't attend because Colorado took away the only option that made it affordable. Wait a second. And so she filed a lawsuit that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court because she lost out on some free money from the government and she's claiming her rights are being violated. Here's what she says. Mom says, "I'm not choosing something so extreme. I'm choosing just a faith," which gives you some idea about how she feels about God and the Bible and eternity and all that. It's just a faith. I mean, please. Do we have to make, we're not going to argue about this, are we? You're not going to take away the money. So here's the thing, folks. Nobody is violating your rights if you lose out on some free money that should have never been offered. Anyway, it's just losing out on free money from the government is now perceived by the conservatives reading this Federalist article. That's now perceived as a violation of your rights. You feel like you're being punished by the government because you're not getting the free cheese that they gave when you slopped your other three kids up to the trough. And so now conservatives start thinking in this mindset. people we think are conservatives, conservative Christians, they start thinking this way. And then others cheer them on. Read the articles on the website and you'll see Christian conservative, I should say professing Christians and professing conservatives saying, yeah, they have no right to take away that money they stole from you Catholics. You go get them. Yes. Stand up for your rights, honey. That's right. Uh-huh. Did I feel guilty about any of that? Hold on a second. Hold on. Hello? Mitch. Mitch, I gotta go. I'm on the air. I'll say hello to everybody for you, Mitch. Are you okay? You're slurring your speech a little bit. Oh, okay. All righty. Goodbye. Okay, folks, that was Mitch McConnell checking in again, just wanting to let everyone know he's perfectly fine. He always slurs his speech. He's slurred his speech since like 1978. I had forgotten about that. It's odd because I talk to him so often that... all right, now we go from wherever we were. We were in Colorado, where the state is run by a gang of criminally insane perverts, to California. A state that's run by a criminal gang of criminally insane perverts. And we check in with the police state of mind file. That's right. It's a police state of mind out in the state of California where, listen to this. This is a website called amgreatness.com. AmGreatness.com. I'm not sure. It's got a big American flag on it, so I think that's short for AmericanGreatness.com, but maybe the URL wasn't available back when they started, or maybe they're just big on those hours before noon, and it's AM Greatness, like greatness in the morning? No, I don't think so, because it's a big American flag. It's AmericanGreatness.com. And even the authors at websites like AmericanGreatness.com have been corrupted by the urinalism schools. And listen to the headline, The headline is, California grocery stores use facial recognition technology to combat theft. That's the headline from the police state of mind file. And here's the opening salvo. A shoplifting epidemic has battered California. And so here's the thing, folks. Words matter and how we use words matter. And to say a shoplifting epidemic has battered California is a psychobabble, completely deceptive, lying way to say what the truth is. The truth is criminals are stealing and it's out of control in California and the people are suffering. People are suffering and dying because of the rampant criminal theft in the state of California. But the urinalist trained in the urinalism schools that George Soros has funded for 50 years, says a shoplifting epidemic has battered California. So instead of telling the truth and making everyone feel uncomfortable about it, which is what should happen, when there's rampant theft going on that's destroying your state, you should feel uncomfortable about it. It should scare you, it should make you angry, and you should be... you should be upset about it. All right. But instead, The urinalists call it an epidemic, which means it's kind of like alcoholism. It's not that Uncle Johnny drinks too much. He has a disease, you see. So the shoplifting thing, it's an epidemic. It's something we really had no control over, and now it's just so big and scary. It's like an epidemic. And it's battering us. So we're the victims. We're the victims of an epidemic of shoplifting. So the way the idea is framed is designed to turn you into an uncertain, scared seventh grade girl. That's what they want us all to be. Uncertain, quivering, scared seventh grade girls whose parents just got divorced. That's what they want us to all behave like. And so they write the news in that way to influence you that way. My advice to you is recognize it when you read it and resist it. Okay, so criminals are robbing people in California blind. And a grocery, an outfit called Grocery Outlet is fighting back. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to crime, Grocery Outlet should not have to fight against crime. Or really against anyone. In fact, civilians living in society, a civilized society, should not have to fight anyone. Certainly not criminals. It's the government's job to fight the criminals. The police and the military fight the bad guys. The guy running the grocery store should not have to fight against anybody. But grocery warehouse has been conscripted by force into the war because they're left with no choice. Because the government has abrogated their responsibility to fight against the criminals and the bad guys. So who has to step in? Grocery warehouse. Okay. So what do? Well, they've installed facial recognition software called Safer, S-A-F-R, in Bay Area stores, which right there, it kind of, the fact that the Bay Area is the epicenter of the death of Western civilization, that should not surprise anyone. The fact that you can't go to the grocery store in the Bay Area without being terrified, well, it's poetic justice. You go back to the hate in the Ashbury and the whole free love in the 60s and the age of Aquarius and everything they talked about up there in San Francisco. This is the fruit of that. Your grandchildren can't go to the grocery store without being robbed, mobbed, or surveilled now. So this facial recognition software is accompanied by signs that warn you as you go into the grocery store that there's a facial recognition system in use in the store so that you know you're being surveilled. And the company says this is meant to keep shoppers informed. And so because keeping people informed and being transparent has now been elevated to some sort of religious ritual, so that even if you're violating the fundamentals of everything our country stands for, as long as you're keeping people informed and being transparent, it's supposed to be okay. The idea that you're taking pictures of me and my wife and my children as we go into the grocery store violates everything our country stands for, but thank you for telling me. That way I don't have to feel so guilty about the fact that I lost Western civilization and that's why my wife and kids can't walk into the store like civilized human beings anymore. Actually, I need a reminder of that. So if I'm living in the Bay Area, I appreciate the store reminding me that civilization is on the rocks and I should probably reevaluate myself and my behavior and my actions. And hopefully that will slap a few men in San Francisco, if there are any left in the Bay Area. And I happen to know there's at least one or two who I know personally. But they need to reevaluate their contributions to civilization. The story goes on here from Am Greatness. A shoplifting problem that has spiraled out of control. So again, the language. A shoplifting problem that has spiraled out of control. You know what a problem that spirals out of control is? That's something you didn't start that now has gotten so big that you can't stop it. But that's not what this is. this shoplifting, this epidemic of crime. I don't want to use epidemic. I need another. See, even I fall victim to the brainwashing by the psycho babblers and the feminists. The feminist psycho babblers hired by George Soros to brainwash all of us and turn us into a bunch of chicks. It even gets to me at sometimes. So it's not an epidemic of crime. It is a shockwave of crime. This shockwave of crime, it's not a problem that's spiraled out of control. It's something I had something to do with, and I have something to do with helping. But the sentence is written to remove responsibility from the reader. Oh, it's a problem. It's spiraled out of control. That's sad. Am Greatness, the urinalist, says theft in the state has jumped 50% since the COVID. So when stealing increases by 50% for any reason, every single citizen in that state needs to be put on notice that we're all responsible and something needs to change immediately. And but instead, all right, I'm not going to beat that. Let's see. One shopper who was asked about this said, invading my privacy with my picture. I don't agree on that. You got to find a better way, unquote, says the hapless shopper in the Bay Area. No doubt the grandson of a bunch of hippie degenerates. And the sad thing is, the grandchild doesn't know that a better way, well, we already knew what the better way was to prevent crime. We punished it. And he doesn't remember that the better way was declared a non-starter by the very people being robbed and beaten and photographed and surveilled, which is kind of ironic. Well, I guess you can't use the, you can't really use kind of with ironic. It's either ironic or it's not. And it's pretty ironic that the people complaining that they live in a surveillance police state are the very people who wouldn't allow criminals to be punished. There is some poetic justice to that, except for the fact that it's quite possible that this poor hapless shopper, it was his grandmother and grandfather who outlawed criminal punishment and then raised him in a society in which he was never even taught that there was such a thing. Holding anyone responsible or making anyone feel guilty is bad, was all he was ever taught. Of course, now he's old enough to go into the shopping center there, into the grocery store. He's old enough to walk into the grocery outlet. And so now he has no excuse. He should know better by now. No matter what your mom and dad taught you, no matter how stupid and leftist they were, you should be able to look out at the world and figure out something about the truth. Anyway, so let's see. Let's go to the president of SAFER. That's the mass surveillance technology company that's trying to help grocery outlet fight crime through mass surveillance. The president there, Charisse, she pushed back on the notion that facial recognition technology at the grocery store amounts to mass surveillance. Okay, how are you going to do that? I'll tell you what, that's a tough one to pull off. Charisse, what do you have to say? She said the company does not maintain a database on every customer who walks through the door. We retain information on suspected shoplifters only for a limited window. And we do not share data with outside agencies, especially not ICE. We don't share any information with ICE, for sure.
So what is it for?
I know. So she basically claims our technology doesn't really work. So it's really just a Band-Aid. It's kind of like putting the ground beef. Well, wait a second. At other stores up in the Bay Area, they are putting steaks in metal cages. When you remember the meat case? It was a cold with the glass front. You remember that, right? The meat case. Now it's an iron cage at the back of the Safeway. And the ground beef at the grocery store in the Bay Area, the ground beef has the same alarm tags on it as the T-shirts at Marshall's. The T-shirts they put at Marshall's to keep the white trash from running out of the store with the T-shirt, it's on the ground beef at the grocery store in the Bay Area. And the people in the Bay Area, you need to start asking yourselves, wow, maybe if we'd started punishing theft appropriately, like as soon as Marshall had to start tagging the underwear to keep people from running out of the store with it, maybe we could have stemmed the tide back then. View, and that's just one of those ones that I could just let that one play the whole way, just especially after the story with the stakes and the iron cage and the RF alarm tags on the ground beef and the underwear in aisle 7. Just that's right, it's the green tinted 60s mind. This is the fruit of all of that, and it's not so much just that, because the 60s free love hippie movement was really only the most extreme expression of just run-of-the-mill godlessness that has dominated all civilizations for all of time. And it's like I was talking with a colleague on the phone and I was explaining how I now realize that we lived through a very unique little blip in human history that's over now. And that we should just get down on our knees and thank God that our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great going back 400 years or whatever, that they left us the residue of godliness enough that our entire society basically was inside this bubble of protection. And it's not magical or anything like that. It's just godliness leads naturally to blessings, and blessings lead to strong nations, and a strong nation can protect even the vapid and the stupid for a while. And we are testing the limits of how long that could be. I'll just leave it at that. In fact, while they're locking stakes in iron cages and putting RF tags on the ground beef at the grocery store in California, meanwhile, the state is legally required to run what's called contamination monitoring to ensure that people are sorting the waste in their garbage cans correctly. That's right. In fact, the city of Sacramento, which is the capital, by the way, of California, has actually conducted reviews of people's garbage in their garbage cans and in their recycling bins. The garbage can is called a can. The recycling bin is called a bin. Why? To imply that a bin is cleaner and better than a garbage can. Well, it turns out, while they were running reviews on how people were sorting their garbage from their recyclables, the bureaucrat involved who was interviewed, who out of just a respect for her family history would not give her name. Here's what the bureaucrats said in regards to the inspection of the sorting of the waste. We found a high contamination level, you know? Issues like plastic bags and recycling, garbage in the organics. Oh. And so I'm reading this and I'm like, wait a second. You're not supposed to put plastic bags in the recycling? I thought the point was to recycle the plastic. No? Did I miss that? You're not supposed to put plastic bags in the recycling, but you're supposed to put anything made of plastic in the recycling. I might need to take a class.
I might need a stint
in a re-education camp so I can understand how to sort my garbage. By the way, if I remember correctly, and I know I will be corrected by my extremely attractive audio engineer, this sort of inspection by the government of your garbage has been going on in Japan for decades. For decades, they've had the garbage police make sure that not only are you not mixing up the plastics, you got to have the green plastic and the brown plastic and the clear plastic separated, or I don't know what they do. They stamp a frowny face on your driver's license. I don't know. There's no real punishment, I suppose, except the social shame of having the inspector look at you with that, oh, you're just not participating. Look, I don't know. But I just remember watching my mother-in-law sort the... It's a Marxist humiliation exercise to make you sift and clean your garbage so that someone from the government can come and inspect it and make sure you're doing it right. It's a socialist, Marxist, Maoist humiliation exercise. And the day any of us gave into it was the day civilization was lost. Let's see here now. Listen to how they run this operation up there in Sacramento. Sally, the bureaucrat. Well, wait a second. This isn't Sally. This is David. So I thought this surely was a girl, but it's not. Well, anyway, it's a girl, a seventh grade girl, extremely unsure of herself. And her name is David, who was interviewed for this article. And David says, any container we touch either gets a great job tag or a let's sort this out tag. They have two tags that they keep in the Tesla as they're going down the road inspecting people's garbage. They have a stack of great job tags and a stack of let's sort this out tags that they put on your garbage can in view of the whole neighborhood so they can publicly shame you. If you have the let's sort this out tab, you have to hang your head in shame in the evening when you go roll your garbage can back. All the neighbors are looking at you like, how could dare you? You're not washing and sorting and cleaning. You're not wearing the ribbon. Anyway, yeah, I know. You can only laugh. Well, that's the thing here. David says, we want to provide education. This is the guy with the good job tag and the let's sort this out tag in the Tesla. He's driving by your house, right? He says, we want to provide education and make sure everyone knows the resources that they have available to sort their waste correctly, says David. He just wants you to know about the resources you have available to sort your waste correctly. So I read that and I'm thinking, wait a second. What resources do I have available that will enable me to sort my waste correctly? What resources? I think he's talking about my two hands, because those are the resources I have available to sort through my garbage. And so it almost seems like someone in Sacramento gets a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that I have to use my hands, my resources, to sort through my garbage according to their specifications. And they think so much about it, they've developed a tag to tell me whether I'm doing it wrong or right. I'm like an animal in the zoo. They'll hang a tag on my neck. Good dog. Well, they don't have dogs at the zoo. Well, that was an inefficient figure. They don't have dogs at the zoo, but you know what I'm saying, okay? Anyway, this whole idea that we just want to provide education and make sure. Here's the problem I have is with the make sure part. I don't mind you providing education. You can sit up there in Sacramento and you can pump out PowerPoints and videos and all the education you want. It's the making sure part I have a problem with. Because the making sure part, right now, it's just, we have a friendly tag. It's kind of a cute wink, wink, nod, nod. Let's sort this out. That's right before the up against the wall tag that eventually is coming. Because the thing is, the adults among us who are not uncertain seventh grade girls who have no idea about history or right or wrong, the adults around us, we have seen Maoist revolutions and Marxism, communism, socialism, ruled by criminally insane perverted gangs. We've seen all this before. We know that it starts with the, let's sort this out, and then it ends with the up against the wall. That's what they say to you right before they shoot you for not complying. And so I just want to warn everyone in Sacramento and in the Bay Area especially that if you people don't get your act together, which I know you're incapable of it. I know you're not capable of getting your act together. Okay, well, let me go on with some other stories here because if I start preaching at you, I'll just go on until the end of the show. It'll never stop. Instead, let's go to the smirking sociopath file where we check in with Representative Mary from Illinois. Representative Mary is a Republican from Illinois, and she's fed up. She's fed up with all this liberalism out there. She was hosting a hearing at the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., where academic leaders from the medical schools were called before her committee on the subject of diversity, equity, and inclusion in medical schools. And Representative Mary from Illinois, she asked the following question, quote, I think we have tape. Yes, roll the tape. Mary piped up. Dr. Hagwood, UCSF's classroom guide titled Framework for Gender and Sex Concepts in Teaching advises against using the term pregnant women. Instead, it says to use pregnant people. Who are pregnant people compared to pregnant women? Just curious. Unquote. That's Representative Mary, who calls herself a conservative and a Republican from Illinois. Let me do the response from the UCSF Medical School Administrator. He said, this is a Dr. Hagwood. He's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. He says, so that the framework for gender, sex, concepts, and that's a part of a curriculum to help students facing a wide diversity of patients. Now, of course, the vast majority of pregnancies are in women. In fact, I have no problem with using the term pregnant women. I use that term myself, unquote, says the medical doctor. And then Representative Mary comes back in. Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby, doctor? To which the doctor responds, well, a transgender person can. And then Mary says, that's not a biological woman. I think if she had the gavel, she would have been like, dink, dink, dink. Right? That's not a biological woman. Doctor, answer me. Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby? No, it's ridiculous, unquote. That's Mary and her exchange with Dr. Hagwood, a medical doctor at UCSF. And the thing is, we should all expect that a medical doctor at a medical school at the University of California, San Francisco, would be wholly dedicated to the transgender insanity that has engulfed a certain strata of our society. That should not be a surprise to anyone. What's a surprise is there's a conservative Republican who's not willing to call said transgender insanity being foisted in the medical schools. She's afraid to call that a criminal act and call for the arrest of this pervert doctor who's actually implementing the policy, or call for the arrest of the people who wrote the policy that guides this doctor's insanity. She's not willing to call it a crime. She's not willing to call for anyone's arrest. Instead, a sitting lawmaker who is at the tip of the spear to prevent the civilizational destruction at the heart of this entire transgender insanity argument. Instead of calling for sanity, which means arresting these criminally insane perverts, destroying the country right in front of us, she makes a joke about it and snickers at the idea that this doctor can't say that only women have babies. She laughs at it and snickers on camera in front of God and everybody. That's what's ridiculous. A conservative Republican sets up a gotcha question so that everyone can smirk and roll our eyes at the criminally insane perverts, literally ripping our civilization off its foundation, molesting our children right in front of our eyes, and you might want to smirk and make a joke about it. Mary from Illinois. All right, I call for the impeachment. I call, it's exactly. Should I call for the impeachment of every woman in the House of Representatives or just that particular Mary from Illinois?
And
by the way, it's Illinois with an E, just in case you were.
It's Illinois.
No, yeah. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, we go into the grift and grind file. Grift and grind, that is a practice of the government. It's the official policy of vast portions of the federal government and several state governments in toto is the grift and grind policy, and here's how it goes. Out in California, the Plastic Pollution Prevention and Packaging Producer Responsibility Act has been signed by the governor for several years now. Did you get that? It's the Plastic Pollution Prevention and Package Producer Responsibility Act. And so here's the thing. Nobody should be expected to take that seriously just because of the name. The Plastic Pollution Prevention and Packaging Producer Responsibility Act. Get out of here with that. This isn't third grade. You try to enforce that, and what should happen is someone should just slap you in the face, and you should run away crying and afraid to have met a real man. But it's actually being enforced in California. And listen to this. Governor Newsom signed this Plastic Pollution Prevention and Packaging Producer Responsibility Act in response to several years of negotiations between normal people and the criminally insane mafia gangsters, perverts, who were threatening even more sweeping plastics ballot initiative. Like the communist leftists, they were like, we're going to ban plastic altogether if you people don't get down on your knees and get in line. And so the companies and the normal people in California, they start negotiating with the criminals, threatening to kill them, to just kill us more slowly. Please don't just slit our throats. Maybe you could start putting us into the meat grinder at the feet first. That's basically what the formerly normal people in California negotiated with the criminally insane perverts threatening to kill them all. So now we've got the Plastic Pollution Prevention and Packaging Producer Responsibility Act actually involved in the governance of a state. In fact, the most populous state in the union, shockingly enough. And so the leftist mafia family that runs the state of California institute their grift and grind policy because they've been so successful at it for so long. And so now what that does, the PPPPPR Just in case you were wondering. The PPPPR establishes a statewide extended producer responsibility program. That's the EPR. So the PPPPR, that establishes the EPR. Mm-hmm. That's right. And this, the EPR, known as the Circular Action Alliance, or the CAA, that facilitates the PRO. Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. The Circular Action Alliance is the PRO. I apologize. The PRO is a producer responsibility organization. So the CAA is a PRO, and it organizes and helps private industry understand the EPR laws. Uh-huh. In fact, a spokesgirl for the CAA, that PRO called the CAA, helping companies comply with the PPPPR, PPPPRA, that, so the spokesgirl for the people helping us all comply, she says, we're delivering harmonized, best-in-class compliance services, working with governments, businesses, and communities to reduce waste and recycle more. That's what she's doing. She works for the CAA, which is a PRO, helping people comply with the EPR. And they comply best-in-class compliance services. What is a compliance service, by the way? What is that? Well, it's like I got an email in my business email from a guy at a company that helps companies comply more efficiently with sales tax regulations in all 50 states. This guy sent me an email soliciting me to sign him up to install software on my website so I could collect sales tax more efficiently for every state in the union. And so I responded to the guy because it was one of these mass emails, so he has no idea. I mean, he probably has some idea what it says. But I sent him back a message and I said, Bill, I said, I know that you, like me, grew up as a child, growing up, we had the one dream we all had was to be tax collectors. That's one of the things that when you were a little kid, when you put on the baseball cap and you looked out at your future, the one thing you hoped was, Grandpa, I hope I could be a tax collector. And so I said, Bill, I said, one Supreme Court decision a few years ago involving one company in one state does not mean that I and my company have to collect sales taxes for anyone. I said, but the problem is that our nation now, instead of being populated by bold Christian men who are certain of what's right and wrong and understand the strong federalist foundation upon which our country is built, now the whole country is populated by a bunch of soft, affluent wussies who just go along with whatever they're told to do, and they believe that the Supreme Court decision against some obscure company in an obscure state like North Dakota means anything. And so they install your software and start collecting taxes. I said, me and my house, we ain't like that, buddy. We're with the former, the strong Christian people who understand right and wrong, and that no one has the right to force us to become a tax collector. Outside of the unfortunate established law that we already were born into. Anyway. And then I said, I hope you're a part of our group. And by the way, here's the gospel in case you never heard it. And then I put the gospel in the email. There's a God. You're not him. You're a sinner. Jesus died for your sins. He offers you eternal life freely if you'll just believe. So I give him the gospel. Anyway, he responded. He said, I understand what you're saying. What a delightful response to my email. Thank you, he said. And he said, I do believe, which I'll take him at his word. Poor guy. Hopefully he resigned his position, realizing, it's like, do I really have to lower myself to this level to make a living? I mean, we all have to make that decision in life, right? How much Kool-Aid are you willing to drink? How much are you willing to humiliate yourself? How much godliness are you willing to set aside on a daily basis to feed yourself? And don't lie to yourself. Every bit that you compromise is a compromise and a failure and a sin. Don't say, well, it's okay because I have to feed my family. That's actually not okay. I mean, you do have to feed your family, but it's still not okay. So don't fool yourself that it is, because it's not. And especially if you work for, whoever you work for, I'm just saying. Okay, so I know that's uncomfortable. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that the compromises you make with the evil, wicked world, they're justified because you have to feed your family. You don't want to hear that that's actually not justified. And so that's why, it's whatever. People don't like me. It's an occupational hazard. If you tell the truth long enough, eventually almost everybody will have something against you. But if you tell the truth to yourself, between you and God, then it won't really matter to you what other people think about you. Because you'll know that you and God have the truth between you. And that's the most important thing. And I encourage you all to pursue that. Meanwhile, we go to the end of the world file. That's another thing about having the truth down between you and God. And not being afraid to just admit it, even when it's embarrassing and it hurts your feelings. Is that you'll be prepared for the end of the world. And if this story is any indication, then surely it can't be too far off. And I suppose it's nothing to laugh about. Unless you're prepared, then you can at least chuckle at it. Now, we don't smirk at those instigating the end of the world, but we laugh in general at the whole concept of the end of the world, because to live is Christ and to die is gain, and you can either believe that or not. I believe it. And so I'm not afraid to say it, even if it hurts your feelings and it makes you think I'm crass. And so we go to, where is this now? K-12 initiative. Oh, this is the federal government. The wrestler's wife, Linda McMahon, who's disguised as the Secretary of Education, whatever that is. That in and of itself is a disguise. To call yourself the Secretary of Education, you're disguised as a Leonid Brezhnev-era Soviet bureaucrat that everyone should just laugh at, because it's ridiculous that anyone can secretary education in Washington, D.C. It's a ludicrous idea. And she's probably making $200,000 a year to put the costume on every morning. It's just embarrassing. Well, she's issued, the Department of Education's ED Office for Civil Rights. Oh, I'm sorry, Education Department. The folks at Liberty Daily, this is written by the guy who does Liberty Daily. I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, I hate to do that, but I'm just not that impressed, so I forgot your name. The guy who hosts Liberty Daily, I forget. He made a few million bucks in cashless payments a while back, and so he's got a, or something like that, in Silicon Valley. And now he's a conservative aggregator. J.D. Rucker is his name. There, I remember J.D. Anyway. J.D. is a sometimes accidentally conservative with a average theology that allows God to conveniently give him cover for his what he wants to do, which is that's what most professing Christians are people who found a place to fit God into what they really want to do, and they call that Christianity. And for you people out there, you should, everyone who claims they're a Christian, your initial take on them should be that they are simply appropriating the name of Jesus Christ for their own fleshly purposes. Don't believe them. In fact, it's better to assume the former and then make them prove whether or not they actually understand the gospel, whether or not they actually worship Jesus Christ. Your default position should be suspicion and a desire to help them and find out if they really understand. Because they may not be malevolently, overtly trying to undermine Christianity. They may genuinely not even know what it is because they've been miseducated, like J.D. Rucker. And so, we'll close with this too, because I'm going too long and it's getting hot and I had decided I wasn't going to do a really long show. But JD, he quotes a story from the Epoch Times, which is a Falun Gong funded, let's see here. That's a, what are we, you can play that.
No, that was wrong.
That's all right. Go ahead and play whatever you want. You're the audio engineer. I'm not in charge of any of that. The Epoch Times is a Falun Gong-funded Chinese intelligence operation, but it's not the CCP, it's the Falun Gong, but it's all an intelligence operation, which, by the way, pretty much everything in life is an intelligence operation. It's someone trying to influence you to think like they do and to go along with them. It's not a great grand conspiracy, it's just what we all do. We want people to agree with us and to go our way. So we peddle our propaganda and others peddle theirs. It's all basically sinful. So it all seems sinister and dark and conspiratorial. But that's just because we're all a bunch of sinners, pretty much trying to take advantage of each other and use each other. And while telling each other we love each other and kissing each other, and pretty much we're all lying the whole time, except for the real Christians who understand the gospel. All right. Which I suspect J.D. Rucker is not one. That's all. He would have to. The Epoch Times says the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights has launched an initiative cracking down on child predators, which you have to stop and you're like, wait a second. If you're a child predator, that means you abuse and hurt children. Why is the Office of Civil Rights looking into that? How come there isn't a criminal investigation? Does that strike anyone as odd that the civil rights? It's because the chick over at the Department of Education, she's just wearing a costume, playing a part in a ridiculous play. The Civil Rights Department cracking down on people who are committing criminal acts against children. Doesn't that strike anyone else as ludicrous? Here's what the chick in the costume said. There's a troubling and recurring pattern in school. Credible reports of abuse and harassment by adults going uninvestigated. The department said in a statement, okay, that should not be allowed. No department should be able to issue a statement that says the department is saying anything, because departments don't say anything. This should never be allowed. A person must always put their name on the statement. That's all. I hate these emails I get from my vendors where there's nobody's name attached. I want to say, this is not good. You're dehumanizing yourself and me and everyone else. And plus, you can say things when your name's not attached, like ludicrous things, like abuse and harassment of children by adults is just a troubling recurring pattern. It's not just that. It's criminal. And chick in the costume goes on, administrators protect the accused from meaningful consequences, enabling them to continue harming children. So she typed up a guidance letter. Uh-huh. A guidance letter? We're talking about the worst type of criminal offenses known to mankind, where adults hurt children. You're going to issue a guidance letter? Uh-huh. To remind schools of their legal obligation to safeguard children. What? Wait a second. Hey, you, the chick in the costume, if we have to remind adults of their legal obligation not to hurt children, I think we have a major problem. We have a major, major problem. That means our civilization is over if we have to remind the adults they have a legal obligation not to hurt the kids. It used to be our civilization was driven by the commitment of the adults to do good by the children. Now we have to remind them of their legal obligations not to molest them, and that's just no wonder. So anything else? Oh, she then cited a study, 9.6% of this and that. And whenever you have to cite statistics after bringing up child abuse charges and reminding people we have a legal obligation not to do that, you can bet that the end of the world is upon us. That's why that's in the end of the world file. And that just means it's the end of the weekly worldview for this week. I want to thank you all for tuning in. We will return next time. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.